Dr. Anna Mahaitra, along with her colleagues around the world, is leading the charge in exposing the fact that the human being is changing, and this is evidenced by the findings of her and others around the world, of things in our blood that do not belong there. Well, now, in conjunction with embalmer Richard Hirschman, Dr. Mahaitra has discovered what appears to be nanotechnology self-assembling in the blood of a person who Richard Hirschman personally embalmed, and this is still present today, 8 months after that individual's death. Zombie nanotech, if you will. We really have entered a new era of scientific experimentation, and this is simply undeniable at this point. This comes in the same week as the revelations of Biden's 2023 federal budget, including a budget for nanotechnology, specifically mentioning two key things. That they want what they call a universal nanotechnology vaccine, mentioning existing nanotechnology innovations, including the COVID-19 injections. Dr. Mahaitra joins us right after this quick word from one of our partners. We'll be right back. The New World Order has openly declared war on the free people of the world, and now they're telling us to expect catastrophic cyber attacks over the next 2 years. Weather events, no power, grids down, mobile cell services out. Contact your loved ones anywhere, anytime with the satellite phone store. The Bivy is a revolutionary GPS-based device which allows you to send SMS messages via your phone even if you have no mobile or cell service. Galileo will ensure you always stay in contact with Z-Media, other trusted information sources, and your loved ones that can update you in real time in the event of an emergency. Don't be caught out and unprepared for the unprecedented times we are living in. Stay 10 steps ahead through secure, encrypted communication. Visit sat123.com/Maria and prepare yourself and your loved ones now. We're joined now by Dr. Anna Mahaitra. She's been a regular on our broadcast. Most of the audience knows her by now. She's been really bringing us revolutionary information about synthetic biology, one of the leaders in this field, talking about things that many, many people are too scared to even consider. And they are scared because this really is it's at the core of everything that we've been living over the past 3 years. The transhumanist agenda is the number one goal of the globalists. They want to transform all biological life. And COVID was, you know, everyone is willing to accept, Dr. Anna, that COVID was never about the virus. It was always about getting these injections into arms. But synthetic biology really does surpass that. And you've got some bombshell findings today for us following this document that I shared in Telegram just this weekend, and I'm going to bring it up. This is from your Substack. National Nanotechnology Initiative specifically speaks of COVID-19 bioweapons as nanotechnology enabled and plans many more nanotechnological vaccines. This is the National Nanotechnology Initiative supplement to the president's 2023 budget. That's Biden's budget. And within this document, this Biden document, okay, this US government document, it states that the COVID-19 injections are existing nanotechnology and they want to develop a universal nanotechnology vaccine. Dr. Anna, please take it away.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think it's very important for people to recognize that what we've been talking about is very common knowledge and has been supplemented and really progressed and developed by the governmental agencies, by all agencies. Nanotechnology is the future of a phenomenal budget and it's been going on for a long time. And so what I'd like to do is really go straight into the document and discuss some of what it's talking about. So it's very important to look at this document because now it will become clear how many agencies within the government are seeing nanotechnology as a current and a future development strategies, and that it's really applying to all of life, including all vaccinations will be nanotechnology based.
Yes, I want to bring up two very crucial articles here. For the audience to view, Dr. Anna. This I shared these in Telegram. By the way, if you're not in our Telegram, Z Media 3E's one word. Nanobots will be flowing through your body by 2030. This is interestingengineering.com. It says, in 10 years, nanobots in your blood might keep you from getting sick, transmit your thoughts to a wireless cloud, and give you eternal life. This is what these maniacs think. Then, 2023, this is BGR.com. In the science section, it says, scientists created cyborg cells that are partially alive but can be programmed. Scientists have managed to do something truly groundbreaking. And they say the new research, which was carried out by researchers at the University of California, Davis, shows that it is possible to create semi-living cyborg cells that retain the capabilities of living cells but are unable to divide and grow. It's this inability to replicate that makes these programmable cyborg cells such an important breakthrough. This, and it even says, in order for artificial cells to be truly useful, they need to be able to carry out controlled actions. This is February of 2023. And I maintain, Dr. Anna, and perhaps you can agree with me, and I'm sure the audience will agree once they see your presentation today, they are far more ahead than even you or I have managed to figure out.
Absolutely, I agree with that. And I think that we're at a very dangerous time for humanity because this has already been implemented and most scientists and doctors are way behind the curve of even understanding this, let alone come up with antidotes.
I agree with you. All right, well, we'll get into your presentation.
So this is the National Nanotechnology Initiative, and what is important is that it was presented to the members of Congress and discussed specifically that for the 2023 budget, a $2 billion allocation is being requested for nanotechnology, and that previously there was already over 40 billions over the last several years that has been utilized in this field. And this was specifically to develop pandemic preparedness research and regulatory review of nanotechnology enabled COVID-19 diagnostics, vaccines, and therapeutics, which would include pharmacological interventions based on lipid nanoparticle encapsulated mRNA vaccines, and then new efforts to develop nanoparticle universal vaccines. Then it's being used in climate change for nanomaterial enabled photovoltaic and energy storage devices, technology of industries in the future, nanoelectronics, photonics, magnetics, quantum information science, artificial intelligence. And so there's many other areas that are being used for this field. And what is very important is that that the executive summary here also discusses that, again, the nanotechnology has been broadly enabling technologies and it underpins technologies of the future. So all of the computer science, artificial intelligence, biotechnology, and manufacturing and computing will all be based under the nanotechnology aspect. And again, so as evidenced through the COVID-19 pandemic, nanotechnology has the potential to help address the biggest challenges. For example, pandemic preparedness and climate change, food safety and abundance, delivering green energy technologies, and ensuring access to clean water. And what I want to just tell the listeners, please look up here that the vision of the National Nanotechnology Initiative is a future in which the ability to understand and control matter at the nanoscale leads to ongoing revolutions in technology and industry that benefit society. And look that all of these agencies are involved in nanotechnology. NASA, FDA, USDA, the US Forestry Services, USGS, CDC, back here's the NIH, there's many other agencies, the Trade Commission. And so all of them are actually involved in this.
I want to note here, Dr. Anna, if you'll go back to the previous page, nanotechnology, a lot of people hear that word and they think, about the self-assembling structures that we've seen in the Pfizer vials, for example. They correlate nanotechnology to that. That's not all that nanotechnology is. And there are many, many positive arguments that can be made for advancements in nanotechnology, and how it's actually helping medicine or science or whatever. Let's be really clear about that. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, look at the top of this document where it talks about the ability to understand and control matter. So what these people, they're not using the benefits of nanotechnology in scientific advancement for good purposes for us. It's not beneficial for us. This is to be able to control programmable matter. So I just wanted to make that distinction, Dr. Anna, because I get a lot of people saying you have no idea what you're talking about. Nanotechnology isn't just about, self-assembling whatever structures in the injections. No, I know that. The point is, what are the capabilities of this technology they're investing in? That and what do they want to do with it? Much like any other initiatives, much like the initiative to grow lab meat to kind of feed the hungry, but really what they're doing is poisoning you. I hope that's clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think so. Nanotechnology is anything that happens at the scale of 1/1,000,000th of a meter. But the issue really is that there are also dangers to this, and the controllability of these nanosized particles has been an issue. So there are benefits as well as dangers. And nanotechnology can be used as a weapon of mass destruction. For example, the NASA document clearly shows that all warfare is being considered by 2025 to be based on nanotechnology, and so you can do a lot of harm as well. And by the way, this report was also considered as meeting the requirement for the Department of Defense reporting on the nanotechnology investments. So again, we're interested here in the military use, and specifically in the use against the population, because out of control nanotechnology can also cause problems instead of just benefits. And the issue also is that nanotechnology and synthetic biology are linked. So for example, in this example, they are saying that the lipid nanoparticle that facilitates the COVID-19 vaccines and many other pharmaceuticals. So, you may not be told that in other pharmaceutical things, like we found in insulin and dexamethasone, are now lipid nanoparticle encapsulations that may or may not grow into self-assembling structures.
Or deliver a
Here,
toxic payload at any time.
that's exactly right. For example, here we have a graphene-based electronic tattoo that provides continuous mobile monitoring of blood pressure. I mean, that sounds really good, but that would basically mean that you have an under-the-skin biosensor that would give continuous biometric data to people. Do you really want that? And they think that it's a great idea that everything should be measured, but I would say, well, not so fast. Then here also,
Well,
food
if
can
we, sorry, Dr. Anna, I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but it's important to establish this. When you look at someone like Dr. James Giordano, who gives these presentations to the military that are widely available on YouTube, and again, that's the declassified stuff, everyone. Imagine what the classified stuff is, where he's talking about creating these super soldiers and controlling their brains and being able to enhance their bodies or whatever. And then he goes on to say, oh, well, some of the risks are that we can also manipulate the population. We can stop an uprising. We can, we can by just put lacing the tip of a pen, we can change the mind of the leader of a resistance. And he comes out of that meeting thinking, I'm not such a bad guy after all. What these people are talking about, is, oh, we can do all this great stuff to enhance our military. Oh, and we can also basically paralyze the population with it. They know that this is a weapon against their own people, which they have declared war against. Please go on, Dr. Anna.
Absolutely. And in this document, you also see that there's dual use purposes, meaning militarized as well as civilian. So here you can see the nanotechnology initiative supplement, and you can see that that BARDA, that the HHS NIH, which has nanotechnology-based biomedical research at the intersection of life and physical sciences, NSF, Department of Energy, Department of Defense, which is science and engineering research advancing defense and dual use capability. So dual use means militarized weapons
Yes.
as well as civilian application. And so DOC NSIT. So there's things like metrology and standards for nanotechnology. So all of these different agencies are actually involved, including FDA, NIH, BARDA in nanotechnology initiatives. And specifically, this is the former department of Anthony Fauci, and they're talking about AIDS supported nanoparticle technology. For example, protein nanoparticle, mRNA packaged into lipid nanoparticle platforms in animal models. And so they have a lot of research in regards to that. The Naval Research Laboratory discusses materials of self-assembly and nanofabrication for chemical and biological assembly. Structures include inorganic and bioinorganic hybrids. So what does that mean? That's synthetic biology. When you hybridize organic, meaning biological material, with inorganic or, for example, plastics, Morgellons is a bioinorganic hybrid, and so that's not necessarily something that is used for beneficial use, but specifically, they are discussing using entangled quantum dots, which we know are also associated in the C19 shots, and nanophotonic systems. So remember when we were looking at the chips and the optical communication cables, there was a lot of lights going off, and I will show some video footage a little bit later, where I absolutely believe that these nanophotonic systems are visible with microscopy.
I'm curious as to the term entangled quantum dots. I know what quantum dots are. What are entangled quantum dots specifically?
Entangles means if you have two quantum dots, they are on the quantum level, are simultaneously processing the same information. So in quantum mechanics, if one photon is entangled with another, whatever happens to one happens to the other. So it's an instant non-local information transfer.
The Internet of Things.
Internet of Things and quantum computing at extraordinary speed.
Yeah.
So then here is an example where nanotechnology is used by harvesting the movement to power implantable biomedical devices. And so they are using that, for example, for NASA in space. But if you think about this whole idea of humans as a battery to biosensor devices, we've shown in our research, Clifford Carnicum and I, that the electrical conductivity of blood is decreased by up to 47%. I mean, imagine you ask somebody, hey, I'm going to hijack 5% of your energy and life force, are you okay with that? And I mean, he would say no, absolutely not. He would raise all kinds of concern about that. But we found a decrease in 47%, which is absolutely devastating, and nobody cared about our results. I mean, this is pretty extraordinary stuff. So
To be clear,
BARDA.
Z Media's audience absolutely cares, Dr. Anna. These people are paying attention. And to be honest with you, I'm having conversations with people that to really get them over the line here to understand that this is very much a possibility.
Thank you so much. So BARDA was involved in commercializing the C19 mRNA bioweapons. And what it's discussing here is that they're also involved in commercializing new modes of disease detection and diagnosing, including novel biochemical and mechanical sensors that can be used with minimal invasion. Well, what do you think that means? That means, all of your biometric data can be hijacked from under the skin or recorded. Here is something that the Department of Defense does in their research and development in nanotechnology-enabled applications. They are using photon-coupled quantum dot lasers for neuromorphic computing. Neuromorphic means neurons and computer, meaning this is brain-computer interface. And here it's discussing that it's developing new approaches to interface biological systems with actuating self and self-assembling nanoscale transducers, meaning self-assembling nanotechnology in living neurons. So what does this mean? This is like a Neuralink brain-computer interface that they are clearly developing and with self-assembling nanotechnology. So all the stuff that we've been talking about, that this is hijacking the brain, this is also what's in this report, and I believe it's already been deployed on the population.
So it actually says there to interface and control biological systems. It actually
says
That's right. The word control biological systems. Just to clarify, Dr. Anna, this is all the DoD and the other departments that you're quoting here that have these initiatives. This is all from this federal budget or the extension
the 2023 presidential budget. Absolutely.
Yep.
All of this is here. And this is also here related for soldier nanotechnology and specifically for soldier protection. So battlefield care, which is saying including injectable nanoparticle for rapid blood clotting in the treatment of wounds. So they certainly know that nanoparticles clot the blood, and augmenting sensing and situational awareness, meaning they are improving the brain control of that soldier, and transformational nano optoelectronics. So that means, that you're able with your retina, for example, to see, capture holographic information from the environment and eventually even replace the eye, but it's based on nanotechnology. So this is a cyborg soldier basically planning. Okay.
Yep.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is looking at novel nanoscale phenomenal process for agriculture and food, specifically bio-nano interface exploration and nanotechnology-related aspects of synthetic biology, which is what we've been talking about, now for months. So synthetic biology means part biology and part technology is being fused, and that there was a project that was already funded in 2020 about this synthetic biology and is continuing into the year of 2024. And it's been investigating the use of a plant virus nanoparticle for the delivery of mRNA into plants, allowing for the change of behavior, which is epigenetic change in the
which
plants
means
without... Epigenetic means what the plant is expressing. So, for example, you can make a, instead of a green leaf, a red leaf or something like that.
Yep.
Okay. Versus, but what it's saying then, it doesn't change the genetic code, but it's how the plant is expressing is changed. But still, this is genetically modified nanotechnology, synthetic biology, because if they do this with food and we're going to eat this, then basically, this is an issue. So they want to overcome drought condition and perform new function without changing their DNA or creating hurdles for production. But still, how does this affect humans if we're consuming this or if this is out in the biosphere? Because all of the biosphere has a resonant frequency and we're modulating literally the song of life, if you will. And everything is connected to everything else. So if you start changing one aspect of nature's song. Let's say, how would a bumblebee still be able to interact with a flower that's changed by nanotechnology? Because they are connecting with all life form via resonant frequencies.
Yes, it is a replacement of anything natural, creating a Celeste Solom actually calls it, you know, this dual, I can't remember the exact term she uses, but it's like a dual world that's in the digital. This is why they're pushing everyone to the metaverse. This is why they conditioned everyone to stay home. This is why they're pushing for more working from home now, and talking about, you know, reducing your work hours and this, that, and the other. They want you to sit inside and live through their digital fake reality. And so, you know, it was Aman Jabi, former Silicon Valley engineer, that told me, Dr. Anna, every single plant on earth is going to be mapped and assigned its own unique identifier. And that's all going to be processed through these supercomputers, if you will, that have mapped everything on earth. Now, I thought, wow, that's really quite a feat to do that. And just a couple of weeks ago, on Telegram, I posted the WEF talking about a company that's doing just that, with the aim to reduce carbon emissions, mapping every inch of Earth. And it's, you know, it's really fascinating how far ahead we've gotten with this stuff.
Yes, absolutely. It's very concerning because, again, you know, total surveillance of and total modification of all natural life on Earth, and I think, again, you know, we always discuss also the other aspect of this. You know, how can this not lead to an extinction event? Because, again, you are changing all of life in a way that we don't even know the consequences of that change. Can this, you know, 100 years from now, this synthetic biology continue to be something alive? It because ultimately, like, if you look at Kurzweil's plan for humans, we are supposed to merge with machine and then become cyborg. And then eventually we're going to be only machine because the biological part would be so negligent. And this is what they're endeavoring to do with all of life. And
it won't succeed, it can't succeed. It can't. It physically can't. Biblically, it can't, and it physically can't succeed. That, you know, I think they'll get to a certain point, Dr. Anna. This is my genuine thought. They'll get to a certain point, and then they'll realize their plans are failing miserably. You can't mix iron with clay.
So, what I want to talk about now. So this was the broad just overview of this document that's 84 pages, and it's available on nano.gov. People can, you know, read through it. I just highlighted a few things. But what I want to switch gears to now, obviously, I've talked a lot about what I'm finding in the blood, in blood clots of the vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated. So this part of the presentation is really discussing something very unusual, because I was sent a blood sample of what was called dirty blood by Richard Hirschman. So he embalmed this blood. This was somebody who is deceased more than 8 months ago. And so I received a vial that had captured that blood with embalming fluid, and I looked at it under the microscope. And the reason why this is of interest is that we want to kind of know, you know, so the people who had large hydrogel clots, like we've seen in Died Suddenly, and that Richard Hirschman has shown us, what does their blood look like? That's a very important question in terms of analyzing how does this relate to what we're seeing now in vaccinated and unvaccinated blood in terms of the hydrogel. So what
clarify, what you have on the screen is an individual that Richard Hirschman, who is an embalmer, and, you know, the audience would be very familiar with him from both my interviews and Died Suddenly. This is one of the individuals that he pulled a large clot out of who was deceased.
Right.
And it's not really a clot, it's hydrogel. Yeah.
He captured some of the blood that came out, and it looked like it had a lot of these specks, and he put it in a vial, and I got that vial from him.
Okay.
Okay. And so this is blood and embalming fluid. And so the first finding is that it was full of the same hydrogel ribbons that we see in vaccinated and unvaccinated blood right now. And what I want to show you here is you can still see the red blood cells, but they're all dead. They've been dead now for, 8 months. But you can see that the liquid is full of these ribbons, and they're classically this. And what I want to say here, there's now a lot of people who have done live blood analysis who are coming out and are saying, oh, this is just holographic blood, and it's just kind of explaining something about the psychological or spiritual aspect of what the person is feeling, because they couldn't have these kinds of ribbons in their blood because otherwise they would have clots. And this doesn't take into account at all the 30 years of geoengineering spraying, and that Morgellons has been seen in live blood for a long time. So they're dismissing our warnings of synthetic biology and nanotechnology based on no basis. And what I want to say here is a dead person's blood shouldn't have any holograms, because the holograms are related to someone being alive and spiritually still present. Okay, so that kind of throws that whole sort of idea
Theory,
out the window.
so
So then,
just for my sake and the audience sake, the blood cells, the red blood cells, that is obvious in these pictures that they're dead, right?
yes, so you can see them deformed, and you can see that they're not shimmering, but actually I've seen some movement, which is very interesting and a bit concerning. But right now, just showing you these hydrogel classic ribbon that we've seen in the meat and the rainwater, we've seen them in vaccinated and unvaccinated blood, and it's the same stuff that Clifford Cunningham and I looked at that also has functional groups that are consistent with hydrogel. And this is a close-up. This is very similar to what Mike Adams saw in the microscopic analysis of the large clots
Yes.
with this central hollow lining. And then you see some of those red blood cells that are dead. And I just want to show how much of the ribbons were there and how classic they looked like. This on the right side is just a 10 times objective, and you can see a long ribbon, and on the other side is a 40 times objective magnification. But so basically my point here is that it's full of the same structures that are seen in vaccinated and unvaccinated blood right now in somebody who died more than 8 months ago with these particular blood clots found that are really not blood clots, but there are self-assembling hydrogel polymers.
Okay, let me ask the question. Have we been able to, or can we compare this to images from the past before, say, the C19 injections? Because I understand that it may not necessarily be just the C19 injections causing this. It could be something else that they're spraying now at the same, because at the start it was only injected individuals that were showing up with this. Now it's apparently everyone. So it could be something that else that they've put in the food, the water, or the skies in this time, or shedding, or a combination of all of the above that's causing this phenomenon that's never been seen before. Have we also looked at deceased people's blood from before the C19 rollout to see whether it's ever looked like this, just for argument's sake.
So I'm not aware that anybody has ever looked at deceased or embalmed blood. At least I'm not aware of that. So we've looked at, there are many people who've looked at live blood analysis, and I'm in a group with people who've done live blood analysis for 30, 40 years. And what they were saying is that here and there, they were seeing people who had these filaments, and they also had what's called Morgellons disease or cross-domain bacteria, right? And then what was very interesting was that a lot of the fibers were either blue, red, but they're also these whitish fibers. Before, we didn't have this in absolutely everyone, which is what we're seeing now.
Understand.
So here again, you see the blood. You can see these filaments, and what I want to draw your attention to here, particularly, so on the left side, you can see again one of those filaments, and the dead red blood cells are sort of surrounding it. On the right side, you can see that there's a little particle swimming around right there, right in the center. And remember, so in live blood, you would see backgrounds and there might be, lipids swimming around or maybe organism. But this is from a dead person with embalmed blood. So we really shouldn't be seeing anything alive swimming around. Okay. And what I want to show here, I want to switch gears for a little bit and show the audience the first time that Dr. David Nixon invited me to look at a drop of Pfizer vial contents under the microscope. And I want to show this video and I want you to look at this background. Okay. He was kind of saying this is maybe Brownian movement. It's just like, little particles that are moving. But if you see, there is significant motion here, and you have these little round dots, you have these crystal-like structures, then you have, metallic-looking objects like this. And so this is what the Pfizer vial contents look like, right? And it couldn't be anything related to triglycerides or anything alive, because obviously the Pfizer vial doesn't contain anything alive. All right. And so again, you see here all of these things that light up and they build this structure that looks kind of robotic. Okay. I want everybody to keep this in mind. Keep these kinds of things here in mind. Keep these kind of lights that are going on and off blinking. Very dynamic. You can see here how much this stuff looks like it's alive and that there's lights going on and off. Okay.
I wanna ask you something now, Dr. Anna, and I've spoken with Dr. Nixon recently. First of all, these twinkly, sparkly things are not genuinely generally found under the microscope of any injections, right? There's no twinkly,
Well,
sparkly stuff.
they shouldn't have sprinkly sparkly stuff that
Yeah.
looks metallic like this and so much of it. And then, we've been looking at this stuff and it's building this structure. It
Yeah.
is moving towards the structure and building it.
The other question I have, we're seeing the filaments in the blood, but we're not seeing the same sort of complex structures like some of those really, insane images that we've seen from Dr. Nixon and others. We're not seeing that in the blood. Is it possible that the filaments that we're seeing in the blood are going elsewhere in the body, that they can actually pass through and go elsewhere and build, these structures, if you will, the more complex ones in the brain, in other organs, tissue.
So remember that the hydrogel filaments are, for example, what mimic neurons. And in many literature publication, it's been shown that it is like this. So what I want to show here is I didn't find how a microchip assembled, but Dr. David Nixon and engineer Matt Taylor were able to find this in dental anesthetics within 3 minutes. But I want to show you how these kinds of blinking lights are actually can be found and how it assembles two hydrogels. So just give me a second here. So this
Okay.
right here is a drop of dexamethasone. Dexamethasone is a steroid and it's a medication that people are using. And I want your audience and look at these little blinking lights. And here's the fluid of the dexamethasone, and how literally the movement of the blinking lights is somewhat controlling the movement of this liquid. Are you able to see this? See this blinking light here is touching it, and so
Yeah.
the fluid is going backwards. So then you see a lot of movement here, and let's just look at this for a minute because you will see that the blinking lights are in control of the assembly of this drop of drug. And it looks like, look at this. It looks like a liquid crystal that's literally controlled. You see these little dots here? I
Yes.
mean, they look like they're intentionally interacting with the liquid. I want you to look at this particular one. It's touching this liquid and see what happens to the liquid. Same thing here. It's moving very rapidly. And just watch for a minute what all of a sudden happens to the liquid as all of these, as if by intelligent design, are moving these blinking lights to make something happen here. Now watch.
I mean, it's
Can
astounding.
you
You can
see that?
clearly, yeah, well, I can see like the swirl, and it looks like, where the blinking lights, as we call them, were coming in and sort of swirling it in. Now they're pulling it out. It's a clear interaction.
It's a clear interaction. Okay, now I want you to look at this aspect here. You see that there's a lot going on. So this is just one drop that's drying and it's continuously changing and it's moving outward and inward, but it's creating round spheres that are full of these blinking lights. And there's a process of self-assembly going on. Now, let's just watch this interaction here. Very violently, this little light is going and then just see what happens to the fluid in just a second. And this is very important to understand when we're looking back at the blood and some of the self-assembly that I found there, because there clearly is something that is able to control this matter. So remember, controllable matter. Look at this. All of a sudden, how is it possible that the control of these blinking lights is creating the fluid to come out? This is exactly the process that David Nixon filmed to create a microchip. Okay.
Yes.
And
I mean,
then
I watched that. People that have watched that have seen it. There's like that there is a clear interaction between all of the materials forming, even to the point of what appears to be little robotic arms setting parameters so that this part of the what appears to be a chip doesn't form, and it pulls, it looks like it's pulling out the rest to make a perfect shape.
look at these spheres, because I'm going to show you this later in the embalmed blood. Look at these spheres and see they are full of these little dots. You can see a lot of these blinking lights floating around here. So I think we got a good picture here. And what I want to do now is I want to show you a different video of what happened 20 minutes later here in with this drop. Are you able to see this filament here?
Yes.
Okay, so this 20 minutes later, that drop looked like this. It had built this hydrogel ribbon, and you can see that all of the surrounding blinking lights were actually used to create this thing that wasn't there before. And this is the kind of hydrogel ribbons that we see in the blood. 20 minutes to assemble this ginormous ribbon, and all of the materials were used to do that. So this is still the same dexamethasone. Can you see that?
I certainly can.
So that's what happened here in this particular frame. So what I want to do now is I want to show you the embalmed blood. One second, I'm going to get back to the presentation. So remember that this is dead blood. And can you see the cells on the screen?
I'm looking at the filament again, the video.
Okay, sorry. I just switched back to the slide, but I don't know. Should I
That's all right.
stop share
Yeah,
and
stop
see if
share
I
and
can?
restart share. Yep.
Okay,
I'll edit this
sorry.
part out. That's okay.
Okay. All right. So, PowerPoint. Okay, can you see this?
Yes.
All right. So, we're back on. So now what I'm going to show you is how the cells. So remember, this is dead blood. This was somebody who was deceased for 8 months, and that there's movement there. And what I want you to see is that the cells are moving, but also that there are some of these blinking lights. And remember when I looked at the Pfizer vial and how it has some of, so for example, here are some lights, and people can say, well, these are triglycerides or whatnot. Remember, this person is dead. They haven't eaten anything in 8 months. So you cannot say that there are things there, for example, from food or digestion, but there's movement. Look at this blinking light. Do you see that?
I can.
Okay. And then so what I'm saying here that there is a material in here that is interacting with dead blood. And that to me looks artificial.
Dr. Anna, does blood ever move like this after a person is deceased?
So sometimes the liquid in and itself could be moving, but what I'm saying is what is highly unusual, you definitely see that these things have motion on their own. I mean, look at this sphere. What is this sphere? You cannot say that this is food. And why is it moving if it's been embalmed?
Can it be put down to contaminants?
So contaminants in terms of I think that what we need to also look at is the the previous molecules that were kind of interacting in the dexamethasone. I think that would be highly unusual, to have in conserved embalming fluid contaminants. Look at this. Look at this thing here, that same metallic object like we've seen in the Pfizer vial originally. Did you see, do you recall that it's like a blinking light right there, and it's literally interacting with this other thing. So you can say, hey, is this a microbe? Well, what is it doing in embalming fluid? And
And dead
if there was,
blood.
for example, if there was a, for example, bacteria in there, then the entire structure will be more moldy, for example, but it isn't. And you can clearly see that there is something moving here that looks exactly like what we saw earlier.
Question for you, Dr. Anna, was this did you by any chance check the difference between when this is being exposed to, say, a router, compared to not exposed to a router? Have we tested that sort of aspect?
Yes, so I actually called Dr. Nixon when I was looking at all of these, and we did some experiments with also my cell phone because there's a whole lot more going on here. This is just the beginning. So this are the structures that I started seeing. So remember the spherical objects that started developing with the dexamethasone, right? So
Yes.
you see in the background is the dead blood, and then you see these spheres here, and then this kind of dirty looking, it looks like blood clots or debris. All right. So I looked at many different areas, and in the middle of the blood, all of these things were there that were clearly spheres that were filled with something. And what was very interesting, then I looked at this thing, and it was actually assembling before my eyes, and I captured this on video. And what I want to show you again, remember the little spheres that had all of the dots in them, and these moving particles. All right, so let's look at this video where I am looking at this thing, and see, this is dead blood, and this there's something assembling. Can you see this over here? And can you see over here how these spheres are growing?
Was this due, like, once you exposed it to
No, this had no exposure. This was just, I am looking at an area, I see this, and I see the birth of these spheres being created right when I am looking. And I just want to show you, I want to speed this up a little bit, and I want to show you how much movement there is. Can you see this?
Yes.
In a grid-like fashion, all of these bubbles with this with these contents are being created in all aspects of this thing. I mean, look at this grid-like. Why? What is this doing in dead blood? This is a higher magnification, and it's creating the same bubbles. You
This
see?
is fascinating.
Yes. So there is some form of self-assembly and self-replication going on, clearly. And this, I wasn't expecting this. I've never seen something like this in my life, other than in these drugs that n are known. Dexamethasone is known to have hydrogel in it. And then just I went back to the blood, and again, here are some of these strange particles that are also moving close to this area. So then. And here's particularly this, you see this metallic kind of looking object here that's just moving around. So then let me show you the next thing that I saw. So then I went to a different aspect of, you can see here that these were different spheres like this, and there was nothing happening. But then I look at these things, and there is a lot of movement in here. And I was like, well, what is moving here? And why is it moving? Again, this is dead blood, okay? And so I went to the highest magnification that I could, which is an oil objective. My software was able to go to 4,000 times magnification, and this is what I found.
So can I
Tell
ask
me if you
Dr.
see.
Anna what this was embalmed in? Is it possible that that fluid was causing this?
I do not think so, because this was just regular embalming fluid. And if you see here, these are, do you see the optical changes here, how the blue lights and the yellow lights are going on?
Yeah, I can definitely see it.
Yes. So it's very interesting because it's clearly so the entire blood area was filled with these kinds of spheres that were self-creating and that had these small light particles in there that looked like they were emitting photonic light. And so I think that this is, highly, highly unusual. And again, what I want to remind people of is that these contents previously were seen to actually build these hydrogel ribbons, for example. They were able to assemble to that because the material of the blinking lights, and you can see that in live blood analysis, we have some ribbons that are filled with these, what looks either like metallic objects, and they're building these structures. So I think that there's definitely clearly motion. This
So,
right
Dr. Anna,
here,
can I ask
yeah.
then, and again, this the many people would struggle to reach this conclusion, but is this potentially the reason why people are emitting MAC addresses from the grave?
Well, so why are they emitting MAC addresses? What is still going on? Is there maybe something artificial that's literally synthetically alive? Sort of like, why does the CDC have on their website the zombie apocalypse? And what does it mean to be undead? It means you have dead tissue and something else is keeping it alive. That there's something that is interacting with matter. Remember control of matter that we discussed in the presidential
Yes.
nanotechnology thing. So what is the level at which this is occurring? If you see here, this large structure was one of these fluid-filled spaces, and I just wanted to show you how many bubbles of these spheres are in here. So it's reacting. So you have all of this material, and then I'm just showing you that within it are spheres over spheres over spheres, and it's kind of like a Patrioshka. And one person who really understood about this and was warning about this was Szymon Janowicz, because he was seeing that these bubbles or these spheres, as well as David Nixon, were emitting from the hydrogel, and he was warning that maybe they contain toxins, or yes, they contain, in my mind now, materials that are actually self-assembling into these hydrogel structures. And if you see here, these are some of the same structures that we see, and they're full of debris of similar features that were in these spheres. So to me, it's like, is this a mechanism of growth for, number one, the structures that we've seen in the blood that are exactly the same? We call them these hydrogel filaments. We can see the similar debris-like blinking lights, and then many of these spheres that are creating something that looks exactly like what we've been seeing in the blood. And then here, similar things, the blinking particles have been associated to grow these hydrogel-like structures, and so that's sort of
so
what
when you
I'm
say
wondering.
Grow these hydrogel-like structures, we're talking anything from the filament ribbon thing to the sort of clots, if you will, the strange clots that Richard Hirschman initially spoke about. That's what we're talking about when we're saying hydrogel-like structures, correct?
Yes, correct. So I believe that what we've been seeing in the blood are these longer and longer ribbon, the same thing that you see behind me here, yes, that are in these different colors, and that it's a synthetic biology, so part biology that's making something grow. And we know that, for example, there are bioplastics now, there are bacteria that can generate or manufacture plastics like polyethylene glycol. And so if they just continue making that, then eventually you grow these long strands. And, you know, I got some clots from Richard Hirschman, and like the longest one is 33 inches. I've never seen in my life, you know, and as a doctor of 25 years experience, a clot of 33 inches. So this is a polymer that just continues to grow. And in my mind, exactly like we were seeing the spheres grow perpetually, the contents of that can grow any structures. And if, you know, looking at this, these appears to be directly correlated to the contents in these spheres, and they can also grow these long ribbons, exactly of what I showed with the dexamethasone. When you have the small particles, they're basically like on a nanophotonic or microphotonic scale, they are controlling the growth of matter, and they are creating either long structures or these spherical structures to build stuff, including clots.
All right, so let me ask you something here. The programmable matter, the hydrogel, is going and creating these structures. We don't know at this point. You in my last interview with you and Karen Kingston, we put forward the possibility that this is already happening remotely by AI, and it's a slow depopulation that's already under the control of AI, you know, like Skynet on steroids. But you know, this is still a theory. If this programmable matter is forming let me rephrase the question. If the goal is to turn us into walking cyborgs, why would we also want to kill people? Is it like we're going to create these cyborgs, and the ones whose bodies can survive these 33-inch plastic tubes, they're going to make it through the Great Culling. The rest of them will die. Is that what's happening?
Well, if you look at some of the statements of members of the Club of Rome, for example, they want to depopulate the Earth by like 86%. So that's kill off 6.8 billion people, right, at least. So that's definitely one part of it. So this, these things can also, as Karen Kingston showed, you know, be carriers for biotoxins, bioweapons, and other things. And this is why I believe, you know, the died suddenly phenomena is going on. I certainly find it concerning concerning that number one, the structures that we see in live blood are also found in deceased embalmed blood that of somebody who's been gone for over 8 months, and that they are the same. Okay, and that we see a mechanism of growth and of activity that correlates with what we've seen inside the Pfizer vials, those little metallic structures that were clearly building things. So are these metallic and blinking structures are building something, for example, these spheres and these long ribbons, according to their program, whatever their program is. But what is it doing in embalmed blood? And why is it still active after 8 months?
Well, and
I
this
mean,
is
I
the
think
thing. I mean,
those are good questions.
I think so. And you know, previously we've discussed sort of how the nanotechnology, whatever it may be, whether for good or evil, is using the energy of the human being to be powered. For example, in that presentation you gave, they're talking about a pacemaker. So it uses the body to power it. How on earth is this stuff surviving in dead blood? What's powering it?
Well, I have seen experiments, for example, where the ionized football water of vaccinated individuals was captured, and that water was kept in a mason jar and observed over 6 to 8 months. And the stuff kept growing from microscopic size to filling a 1/4 of the mason jar. So, this stuff can take energy from external sources and also continue to grow. I think that it's not just biophotonic light that it lives off, but we, for example, in the experiments with Gifford Carnicum, we took live blood that was unvaccinated, that looked clean, and just applied a low-level electrical current, extremely low level, and in 2 hours, that blood was transformed into this hydrogel filament network that was unrecognizable of as blood, and we have duplicated that experiment now multiple times. So there's something that Clifford Carnicum is calling cross-domain bacteria, which are basically synthetic life forms that can use electricity to grow. And this goes along with what I showed in terms of the vaccinated blood that we were just left standing for 4 hours. So time itself, seems to be a factor here. And then we were able to see this layer and then look at it. It was just like this rubbery thing. You couldn't dissolve it. It didn't look like blood at all. So there's a self-assembly mechanism going on that can be enhanced. Also, we found with magnetic fields, with definitely EMF fields, and this is very advanced technology. And as far as I'm concerned, I want to know why is this there? Why should I be seeing in blood from a deceased ongoing self-assembling in a grid-like pattern in these spheres? The spheres are absolutely giving off optical signals, blue and yellow and red lights, that's clearly visible. And I'm like, what is this stuff? And why is it in human beings?
Well, I think it's important to note here that within that document, it talks about a universal nanotechnology vaccine, and they want that. We've got the simultaneous action of the global health pass, the CBDCs, Bill Gates patent 060606 that says that your biometric data will be sent to like a super Satan computer that rewards you for obeying the government with crypto. That's the simplified version of that patent. All of this for me makes a lot of sense, albeit we don't have all of the answers just yet. First, the information that you're sharing and exploring, Dr. Anna, is very dangerous, and many people in the world either haven't caught up or are too afraid to look at it. What's your message to pathologists, people in labs, other doctors around the world right now, considering you're finding this in deceased blood at this point?
I mean, I'm very concerned. I haven't slept in the last 2 nights because after I saw this, I'm like, what does this mean? And why is this there? And is this the mechanism by which these filaments are growing? I mean, again, there are people who are doubting that what we are seeing in the live blood is real, but you know, these filaments are blue, ultraviolet blue, they're red. They're clearly not biofilm or something like that. This is something that has been taken out of people with anti-nano devices. We photographed it developing in the shots as well. And I'm concerned that what is going on is so far advanced. I mean, how can you explain that a medication like dexamethasone, which is being given to cancer patients or for allergies or a shot for knee pain or, a COPD, a lung exacerbation, has a technology in there that is allowing it to be controlled, and then it's growing these huge hydrogel filaments in there. I
Well,
mean, what is
again,
that doing in medication?
within their own documents, they talk about the nanotechnology being able to do this. They say nanotechnology can be controlled, programmed, it's programmable matter, all of the above. They claim it's a good thing because it's going to, cure disease and help you live forever or whatever they sell it as. What we're doing is saying, okay, they've admitted nanotechnology is in the COVID injections. It's in this, it's in that, it's in all these, new initiatives, medicines, so on and so forth, existing medicines. And one of the existing ones they list is the COVID-19 injections. So what we're posing is, what is it actually for? There's no doubt that sophisticated nanotechnology, which is programmable matter or interacts with programmable matter, exists. It's in their documents. They say it's great. What we're saying is, hang on a minute, it's not so great. This is really terrifying. I want to make that abundantly clear because people are saying, oh, they have these pipe dreams of what they'd like to do with nanotech, but it's still in R&D phases and, this, that, and the other. No. Look at all the drugs, the dental anesthetics, the steroid drug that Dr. Anna's talking about. There are different drugs right everywhere that are showing this interaction.
Absolutely. And again, is it that the pharmaceutical drugs are now so unsafe? Because are doctors aware that these technologies, for example, ivermectin has a nanoparticle delivery system. So the nanoparticle itself is not just giving off a drug, but what if it self-assembles to create something else? Or what if it is programmable matter and you happen to have your cell phone in your hand? And what if that signal is making it, to be programmed to do something very specific that wasn't intended?
Well, and this is the point, Dr. Anna. It's like, okay, they tell us, yes, we have nanotechnology and it helps us with programmable matter and controlling stuff. Yeah, this is their words. And we say, oh, but this has been around for a while. And it's normal, nanotechnology is not just something that appeared this year. Like they've been talking about it for years. They've been talking about the benefits of graphene in medicine for years. This isn't new. So they've been doing it for a while. So what makes us think it's a threat now? Because they told us it's a threat, because they told us they can hack us, because they told us that these things are programmable, that there's programmable matter, that hydrogel is programmable matter. Are we going to, do we want Big Pharma, who just killed millions of people with these shots, potentially millions, and disabled definitely millions of people with these shots permanently? Do we want them to be able to put things in our body that are programmable when they themselves tell us that these things are programmable? This is where people need to think now, including doctors. I want doctors to think about this very carefully because doctors are struggling to cross this threshold, Dr. Anna, of believing that this is happening.
Well, how about this? So we've shown the pulse electromagnetic fields in just exposing the live blood of a vaccinated person shows that the clot of this, the rubbery part of the clot, the hydrogel clot, makes it grow. So how many people are getting an MRI scan, even the Freedom Doctors who are recommending an MRI for the heart to look for myocarditis? Is that making the hydrogel inside of them grow? So if you don't know that certain fields are affecting this technology and could have an adverse effect, and you don't even know it's in people, then you don't know how to take precautions. And so clinicians need to start learning about this, because again, you know, what if you make somebody's clot grow? Why aren't people outraged about a 33-inch clot or these huge things that are being pulled out of people, you know, that we see in asymptomatic people, that we now show the blood is rubbery, that we now show the live blood analysis, everybody's contaminated. Now we're showing you that there's microchips growing in dental anesthetics, and it's like, what? Zip, nothing, nobody has anything to say about this. This is insanity. And you know, at what point are people going to be so concerned that are like, you know, my discussion with Guilford Carnicum, what is your threshold that you're going to wake up and say, wait a minute, it's not acceptable that 5% of my energy is being hijacked by this stuff. What about, you know, half of my life force? Are you accepting that your lifespan is cut in half by something like this, and you will live as a diseased person? Well, if you are not okay with that, then you should ask, you know, the world scientific community to either look into us, disprove us, but do the appropriate research and answer our questions. Why is there something self-replicating in embalmed blood that hasn't, you know, has been dead for over 8 months? I think at some point, you know, there needs to be a level of outrage that just says we need answers now.
I agree with you, Dr. Anna. And for the record, that research doesn't include putting something up on your screen for about, you know, 2 minutes and saying, oh yeah, there seems to be something there, we'll check that out. You know, and I think everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say that. So here's my genuine thought, Dr. Anna. I am praying for your safety. I am praying for the safety of those that are investigating this. There is a concerted effort to stop this conversation from happening. People need to realize that there is a concerted effort from stopping this conversation. This is, you know, information that is really, how do I put it? It's a mental barrier that many people are struggling to cross, including doctors that I'm speaking with. And so I think that the more that people demand it, as you're saying, demand answers, the more the medical establishment will open up to this and perhaps start investigating. Here's the thing. Doctors think they're in the know. This is what I've noticed about doctors, Dr. Anna. They think they're in the know because they work in the industry and they understand the pharmaceutical industry and so on and so forth. Did you know, were you in the know that they were about to unleash a bioweapon that was going to kill and maim countless people? Did you understand how that happened? Were you in the know about the mechanisms of that? Were you in the know about the plan for Pfizer that knew that over 1,200 people died in the first 3 months of their trials, that they knew that that was going to happen en masse and they went ahead anyway, and the FDA went ahead anyway, and the TGA and all the other people that approved it that knew very well that this was going to kill people? Were you in the know about that? Were you in the know that these injections were harmful? No, you weren't. Now, Dr. Anna, this is new to all of us, new to all of us. But the fact of the matter is, all of the research that I'm doing as far as nanotech, programmable matter, I do research outside of our conversations, people in my Telegram channel know that, is talking about being able to control people, program them, so on and so forth. This technology exists, it's being used for evil, it's time that we demand answers for it. And I'm not going to accept that this is just a conspiracy theory any longer. I won't accept that.
And so, you know, in closing, I think it's very important to make a couple points. So one is, we showed you the presidential budget for nanotechnology. We showed you, it says in there that the Department of Defense says that any of these technologies are for dual use, meaning weapon as well as benefit. And yep, you don't know which one is happening at what time. And so I think that's a very, very important distinction. This is literally everywhere, food, agriculture, medicine. You don't know, you're not being told what type of nanotechnology is in these medications, and people are just blindly prescribing it. Well, you know, I think that we need to start looking.
I agree with you, Dr. Anna. I really agree with you, and I really hope that the doctors watching this, and I know doctors watch our stuff, because when I talk to them about it, they say, yeah, I saw that, but I don't know. I hope that if you're watching this, you take it seriously. I just got word this week of one particular doctor that I know who was very, very regretful that he didn't take this seriously sooner. So, Dr. Anna, I can give you encouragement that the word is getting out, and people are starting to pay attention, in the medical profession, and hopefully will be able to assist us in doing some deeper investigation. But for all of your work thus far in researching this, Dr. Anna, we really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Maria.
If you thought things couldn't get any weirder, I'm sure that after that interview, you'll agree that they'll probably get even weirder from here. We're really grateful to Dr. Anna and everyone else around the world who is showing courage in confronting this issue and getting to the bottom of it. If it turns out that we're wrong, we'll be happier than ever. But something tells me we're not. Something that I want to really draw attention to that has just come out is this particular article. I mean, there are many, but this is from Natural News. Mike Adams and his team do a great job. The WHO announces launch of Digital Health Certification Network. Will this become the prophesied mark of the beast? On Monday, the United Nations World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus officially announced the launch of his globalist body's long-awaited Global Digital Health Certification Network, which in many ways looks like it could be part of the prophesied mark of the beast. The purpose is to track and limit the movement of people all around the world based on their obedience to government orders, especially during a public health emergency like the Wuhan coronavirus. When the next pandemic is launched, the WHO will be ready and waiting with this new network to control everything. Now, if the theory about this technology is correct, and Karen Kingston was right in the very first interview we did with her, where she exposed that any injections approved by the WHO, who now will have, according to their proposed IHR amendments and the pandemic treaty, complete power to decide which injections you have to take in future. The original patents, anything approved by the WHO, already had tracking and tracing capabilities. So, moving forward, you can imagine what sort of insanity the WHO will be bringing forward. And this is a digital health pass that will determine which businesses can function, which businesses can't. And this is evidenced further. You may have seen the footage already. This is a Cairns News article. Digital ID required before you enter shop to buy food at Aldi. Now, people are already walking out and saying, no, we're not going to do this. We are not going to comply with this. We don't want to give you our digital ID or scan anything in order to go in and buy food. But this is going to be every single business moving forward. I guarantee it. Just like during the COVID-19 period, they destroyed small business, medium business, mom and dad shops, anyone that's self-sufficient. The agenda of the Great Reset is that you will own nothing and be happy. That means you cannot be self-sufficient and you cannot operate unless you comply. Yuval Noah Harari has made statements about unless you are injected, you will not be part of our system. The global digital vaccine pass, which is not for vaccines at all, it's for whatever injections the WHO wants to give you, and there are plenty. You will not be able to function inside society unless you are up to date. This will be linked to your central bank digital currency. This will be linked to your social credit score. These are things that we really need to start taking seriously and considering how we're going to operate outside of this system. For the viewers of this broadcast, we've been talking about this for the longest time. But the way to trade outside of this system has to be done with physical, tangible things. One of those solutions that Z Media proposes, and you all know we partner with Gold Bullion Australia Group, they are truly wonderful, trustworthy people and the leaders, in our opinion, in Australia in gold and silver bullion. We genuinely believe that there will be a parallel economy that operates outside of the system. People are already setting this up within their communities. They're looking at things that they can trade. They're looking at things at ways that, what do I have that's valuable that I can trade with my neighbor? And all of those things are well and good, but we will run out of items eventually. The one thing that we won't run out of is physical, tangible currency. something that they don't want you to have. Catherine Austin Fitz said a while ago, they want your land, they want your gold, they want your family, I believe, if I'm not misquoting her. These are the things that they're coming after. Why? Because they don't want you to be self-sufficient. So please consider this in light of this really, really astounding news about the WHO. And it's not astounding because Z Media and many others have been warning for the past 3 years. This is coming. If you don't take notice, world, this is coming. Please take this seriously, everyone, and share this information everywhere so that the world knows. We need to wake up and wake up fast. God bless you all, and I'll see you very soon. Z Media is proud to partner with freedom-loving businesses like Gold Bullion Australia Group, Australia's leading dealer of gold and silver bullion. In such uncertain times in the market, many are switching to lasting physical assets like gold and silver rather than depending on the crumbling financial system. GBA Group is an Aussie partner you can trust. They have a huge range of available gold and silver at competitive prices, a friendly, experienced team on standby for all of your questions, are family-owned and have been specialising in precious metals for over 40 years. They're looking forward to helping anyone that has come from Z Media, so click the link in the description below, visit one of their offices now spread across Sydney, the Gold Coast, Brisbane, Melbourne and Singapore, or call 1300 618 363 and consider securing your wealth today.